The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Volume 2, Chapter 28, The Prison Register. The day after that in which the scene we have just described had taken place on the road between Bellegarde and Beaucaire, a man of about 30 or 32, dressed in a bright blue frock coat, nankeen trousers, and a white waistcoat, having the appearance and accent of an Englishman, presented himself before the mayor of Marseilles. "Sir," said he, "I am chief clerk of the House of Thompson and French of Rome. We are, and have been these 10 years, connected with the House of Morel and Son of Marseilles. We have 100,000 francs, or thereabouts, loaned on their securities, and we are a little uneasy at reports that have reached us that the firm is on the brink of ruin. I have come, therefore, express from Rome, to ask you for information." "Sir," replied the mayor, "I know very well that during the last 4 or 5 years misfortune has seemed to pursue M. Morel. He has lost 4 or 5 vessels and suffered by 3 or 4 bankruptcies. But it is not for me, although I am a creditor myself to the amount of 10,000 francs, to give any information as to the state of his finances. Ask of me as mayor, what is my opinion of M. Morel, and I shall say that he is a man honorable to the last degree, and who has up to this time fulfilled every engagement with scrupulous punctuality. This is all I can say, sir. If you wish to learn more, address yourself to M. de Beauville, the inspector of prisons, number 15, Rue de Nouelles. He has, I believe, 200,000 francs in Morel's hands, and if there be any grounds for apprehension, as this is a greater amount than mine, you will most probably find him better informed than myself." The Englishman seemed to appreciate this extreme delicacy, made his bow and went away, proceeding with a characteristic British stride towards the street mentioned. M. de Beauville was in his private room, and the Englishman, on perceiving him, made a gesture of surprise, which seemed to indicate that it was not the first time he had been in his presence. As to M. de Beauville, he was in such a state of despair that it was evident all the faculties of his mind, absorbed in the thought which occupied him at the moment, did not allow either his memory or his imagination to stray to the past. The Englishman, with the coolness of his nation, addressed him in terms nearly similar to those with which he had accosted the mayor of Marseilles. "Oh, sir," exclaimed M. de Beauville, "your fears are unfortunately but too well founded, and you see before you a man in despair. I had 200,000 francs placed in the hands of Morel and Son. These 200,000 francs were the dowry of my daughter, who was to be married in a fortnight, and these 200,000 francs were payable, half on the 15th of this month, and the other half on the 15th of next month. I had informed M. Morel of my desire to have these payments punctually, and he has been here within the last half hour to tell me that if his ship, the Pharaon, did not come into port on the 15th, he would be wholly unable to make this payment." "But," said the Englishman, "this looks very much like a suspension of payment." "It looks more like bankruptcy," exclaimed M. de Beauville despairingly. The Englishman appeared to reflect a moment, and then said, "From which it would appear, sir, that this credit inspires you with considerable apprehension? To tell you the truth, I consider it lost." "Well then, I will buy it of you."
"You?"
"Yes, I. But at a tremendous discount, of course?" "No, for 200,000 francs. Our house," added the Englishman with a laugh, "does not do things in that way."
"And you will pay?"
"Ready money." And the Englishman drew from his pocket a bundle of banknotes, which might have been twice the sum M. de Beauville feared to lose. A ray of joy passed across M. de Beauville's countenance, yet he made an effort at self-control and said, "Sir, I ought to tell you that, in all probability, you will not realize 6% of this sum."
"That's no affair of mine," replied the Englishman. "That is the affair of the House of Thompson and French, in whose name I act. They have, perhaps, some motive to serve in hastening the ruin of a rival firm. But all I know, sir, is that I am ready to hand you over this sum in exchange for your assignment of the debt. I only ask a brokerage."
"Of course, that is perfectly just," cried M. de Beauville. "The commission is usually 1.5. Will you have 2, 3, 5%, or even more?"
"Whatever you say."
"Sir," replied the Englishman, laughing, "I am like my house and do not do such things. No, the commission I ask is quite different."
"Name it, sir, I beg."
"You are the inspector of prisons?"
"I have been so these 14 years.
"You keep the registers of entries and departures?"
"I do."
"To these registers there are added notes relative to the prisoners?"
"There are special reports on every prisoner."
"Well, sir, I was educated at Rome by a poor devil of an abbé, who disappeared suddenly. I have since learned that he was confined in the Chateau d'If,
and I should like to learn some particulars of his death. What was his name? The Abbé Faria. Oh, I recollect him perfectly, cried M. de Beauville. He was crazy. So they said. Oh, he was decidedly. Very possibly, but what sort of madness was it? He pretended to know of an immense treasure, and offered vast sums to the government.